Welcome, everybody. It's good to see you. It's good to see happy faces. I've actually really struggled with this word for tonight. I have felt a real wrestle in my soul over tonight. I have felt a real travail over tonight with the Lord. And I feel that, when you press in and your heart is to stir people for revival. We've heard about revival for so many years. We've heard about it. We've tasted little bits of it. And it's so easy to become complacent about revival and just to think about it as another meeting or a little visitation time. But I really believe that the days of letting the dove come for a visitation without creating a habitation for him are over. I really feel that the Holy Spirit so wants, he loves it when we gather and when we focus and when we take time. But for him to come, for this outpouring to happen, for this harvest to come in its fullness, we need to create a habitation for him. Not just meeting hop to get little visitations. We need to create in ourselves, in our soul, in our spirit, a place, the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to focus our attention on creating a habitation. David's whole focus was on building a house for the dwelling of the Lord, a place where God could dwell. And my life for the last lot of years has been focused on creating a habitation for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And my passion is to impassion you that you would create a habitation for the Lord, where you would begin to sit on his lap and talk to him on a daily basis. The knowledge that the Holy Spirit is like this dove that descends upon you. And whatever you do, you don't want him to leave. So everything you do is focused on the dove. It doesn't matter what way you turn with focus and the attention on the dove. Every act, every word has to be brought into line to create a habitation. There has to be good foundation stones. The word of God is the foundation stone that we build on. The prophetic, the apostolic, the prophetic we build on. But this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's put your hand on you and say, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I desire it to be a dwelling place. I want you, Lord, to dwell in me in fullness. So tonight I want to speak to you about these three chairs. Chair one, say one. Chair two, say two.
Three.
Chair three.
Three.
No, you nearly didn't say it. Chair one, saved. Everybody that sits in this chair is saved. Say saved.
Saved.
Chair two, everybody that sits in this chair is saved. Saved. Chair three, everybody that sits in this chair is lost. Say lost. Now, why do we have two saved chairs and one lost chair? Ooh, the plot thickens. Chair one is where we hear Father's voice. It's where we create a habitation, where we sit in the place of his lap, where we listen, we focus on his face and we hear him. You know, like when you have that encounter with God, when you have like a really good day at church or a really good time in your quiet time, and your whole day then is different. You see people differently. You have grace for people. You're more patient. The fruit of the Spirit just flows out of you. And then there are other days when you sit in chair two, which is the chair of the soul. It's the soulish chair. It's the chair where, yeah, I'm a believer, but actually today, he has really miffed me off and I don't want to speak to him today. So what happens is the soul begins to arise and everything in your day flows. All your attitudes, your offenses, how you deal with people, everything in your day flows from the soul, not from your spirit. Do you understand? So people in this chair know that they don't belong in these chairs. And sometimes people in this chair know they don't belong in that chair. But sometimes people in this chair kind of hop between these two. So they hop between coming to church and having their time with God, and then because they don't understand or they don't soak, they don't have time in the face of the Lord and experience the love of God, they go looking for other loves. Because they don't understand the pleasure of God, his pleasure on them, they end up here, and then they end up looking for pleasures in other places. Does this make sense? So by the end of the night, you're going to know where you're sitting. Some of you may already. My desire is to sit here all the time. This is revival chair. This is the chair of habitation. This is the chair where God indwells, where we sit in him. He says to us, he wants intimacy. Into me you see. So what happens when how do we get on this chair? Simple. We walk up to Papa and we sit down on his lap and we go, hey, Daddy. You see, he's stroking my back right now. There's instant intimacy. There's instant affection. There's instant encounter with Papa God. This chair is commitment. Committed to the Lord, committed to kingdom. This chair is the chair of compromise. This is the chair where people end up compromising and hopping in and out of, not that they're lost, but hopping in and out of the things that are not of the Lord. In which turn, they then feel shame, and they usually sit in this chair for quite a while until they think they earn the right to come back into chair one. But this chair has been paid for. It's been paid for with a great price, and his name is Jesus. He took all our failures, all our shame, all our disappointments, all our inability to understand who he is even, and he gave us all his A's. Jesus is our model. All he did, he's the one that says, I have come to do what the Father came to, what the Father tells me to do. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I don't do anything other than what the Father tells me to do. So Jesus made a choice always to sit in this chair, always to be aware of the Father's voice, always to be aware of his love, always to be aware of that live, living breath continuing to breathe in him. He chose never to sit in this one, in the area of the soul. Is this making sense? This chair is the chair of receiving. It's where we come to receive. It's where we can come and just be. There's no demands made of us. We just come as children with our daddy. You climb upon his lap and you be there. This chair is the chair of achievement, where people feel they have to earn the right to be in this chair. There are so many lies that believers have been taught or have fashioned or nurtured, been nurtured into believing that they're not good enough to sit here, that they don't qualify to be a priest of the Lord, that they don't make the mark to be a son, so they stay as a slave. Like the prodigal son, when he came home, full of shame, full of dirt, smelling of pigs, an abhorrent thing to the Jews. And he thought, if I could just be a servant, if I could just prove that I am a son again, if I could just work my way into the family. But his father said, my son, come home. I got a robe for you. I got a ring for you. I got new shoes for your feet. We're going to have a party tonight. We are going to have an awesome time. Sit here on my lap. This is who you are. You are my son. You've always been my son. You were never a slave. You never will be a slave. You have inheritance because you're my son. For me, I struggled for many, many years with identity because I had been brought up in a church that believed, number one, that women were second-class citizens. Number two, that women shouldn't really be educated because they're just going to get pregnant and have babies and look after men. Number three, that women weren't as intelligent as men. Number four, and so it goes on. That was ingrained in me as a child. You don't really have a voice. Your opinion isn't worth anything. And then I came to know Jesus. And I began to feel like, actually began to dare to believe that I was somebody and that I could do something. I would never have stood in front of a crowd of people. Never. I felt like the ugliest, most insecure person in the whole wide world. But Jesus. But Jesus. Transformed everything about me. And then about 10 years ago, someone invited me to a Father Heart week. And I thought, why do I need to go to do a Father Heart week? You know, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. And when I went there, I kind of rediscovered the fact that actually Jesus died so that we could have a relationship with his daddy. The whole point of everything that Jesus was and is so we can have a relationship with Papa. That I could have a daddy that was eternal, that loved my face, that loved my voice, that actually created me to have a purpose. And my purpose is to be his child. That he wanted me and his family. So he gave up his son. So that I could be in his family. And the teaching of the Father Heart of who he was, what he has done for me, transformed me from this, from I felt I had to earn it, to look right, to behave right, to speak right, especially in front of certain people. You know, I don't know if anybody ever feels like that, certain people that you have to behave in front of. But now, my nanny used to say to me, they all sit in the toilet just like you, darling. And I'm like, I love you, Granny. She was like God's voice to me, actually, many, many times. And the Lord, through the just understanding Papa God, took me from this seat to this seat. Now, there's times when I fall into my soul and I get annoyed and I make judgments from this place instead of this. But I am learning and I am actively pursuing being in chair number one. Because when we dwell in chair number one, lives will be transformed around us. We will carry the power of the Holy Ghost. We will see healings and miracles and signs and wonders that are signs and signs that make you wonder. We will see it all. It is here and it is increasing. And we need to make sure that we are in the right chair to host well what God is bringing to this nation. The only thing that he is building right now is his kingdom. We are the church. We belong. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Is establishing his kingdom. It is immovable. It is unshakable. He He is the Lord of lords of it. He is the King of kings. He is immovable and he is unshakable. That is my daddy. That's my papa. And at the moment in our nation, he is shaking everything that needs to be shaken. And he is breaking everything that needs to be broken. And I am watching people in fear, absolute fear. You just got to read Facebook. People are in fear and they're attacking one another as believers. And I'm like, Papa, what are you doing? And he goes, I am shaking everything that needs to shake. And I will break everything that needs to be broken in order for my kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And if that means he needs to shake us, he will shake us. He will break us until we become that beautiful bride, until we learn how to sit in this chair. When you think about Adam, Adam was the first man, yeah? I think he must have been like the most handsome, awesome man ever on the face of the earth, because God fashioned him first in his image in every way. He was like the prototype of all of us. We've all kind of come from this one man. And I think if we look at each other long enough, we probably see a bit of Adam in each of us. The God Adam, that God man. And I was lying and I was thinking, what was the first thing Adam felt? And it was the breath of God. First thing he felt as a man was the breath of God upon his body. The ruach, that living breath of God. What was the first thing Adam saw? The face of God. What was the first thing Adam felt? The presence of God. What was the next thing I think he felt? Was the love of the Father. The first thing was like the breath of Father, when Father breathed into him. The next thing was Father's face. Imagine opening up your eyes and going, "Woo! Papa." And actually that word Abba is the original word for daddy. And it's pronounced as Leif Hepburn, A-B-B. It's like, Abba, Abba. And he puts it like as if you've been shoved under the water and held there. And then you're coming up and you go, Abba. And you take that breath. And he said it's that same experience when Adam was breathed into. He goes, Abba. And when he opened his eyes, he saw daddy. He saw Papa God. Isn't that awesome? And he dwelt in that place. And then there's Eve. Because it says that God, Father, brought Eve to Adam. He brought her to him. So she must have experienced exactly the same thing. She must have experienced the breath of God. She must have seen the face of the Father. She would have felt the love of the Father and experienced his presence. And he brought Eve to Adam, and he joined these two together, the first marriage, male and female, first marriage, why to rule over creation, to walk with him, to be family. The only thing God wanted was family. It wasn't for us to do things, it was for us to be. He loved to come and walk with them and talk with them. That was his passion. He dwelt with them. He dwelt among them. It's all about love from beginning to end. It's all about love. There's nothing about the Father that is not about love. Everything he does is for love. If you don't know the pleasure of the Lord, you will look for pleasures elsewhere. If you don't see the face of God, you will look for faces elsewhere. If you don't feel the pleasure, you'll look for these pleasures. If you don't feel the love of Father's love, you will look for love in all the wrong places. So we need to determine if we're going to be the type of Christian that is saved, reads the word, goes to church? Or are we going to be the type of Christian that's saved and becomes a habitation for God to dwell in? Are we going to learn to walk with him, to see his face, to take time to feel his breath upon us, to take time to see his face, to take time to experience his love, to take time to experience his presence? How different would we be? How different would it have been even tonight if for half an hour before you came, you sat in this chair with the Lord? We would come together, I believe, already in a place of receiving. It wouldn't be hard. We would come carrying that habit. We would be that incredible habitation. And when we come together, how powerful would that be? We don't have to work at it to feel it. We just bring him together. We just form the body. Chair one is doing what God is blessing. Chair two is ask God to bless what you're doing. Chair one, blessing, actually being doing what God is blessing. So looking to see. It's like we have closed things down because we haven't seen blessing on it. And then we have walked with Lord and opened things up because God's blessing is on it. And we're like, well, if you're working here, Lord, this is where we're going to go. This one is asking God to bless what you're doing. And there's lots of things that are really good ideas, lots of great projects. But if the Lord's not in it, it won't bear fruit. I want fruit. I am too old to do things and it not bear fruit any longer. I don't have, well, I'm going to live to 120, so I have another 65 years, whatever, to achieve that. But I want to live in this chair and see fruit in abundance. I want to see people saved. I want to see a generation rise up, get trained up, get equipped up, and go out and win this world for Jesus. That's my passion. And I can't do that unless I sit in this seat. This seat will train and equip a generation. This seat will not train and equip anything. But you will go to heaven. I know Layla's just back from YWAM, where she faced those calls of, am I going to continue to believe the lies of what I believe I am and who I am? Or am I going to actually step into this seat and believe that I am who God says I am? Layla is not the sum of what she does. She does because of who she is. She is first and foremost the daughter of Daddy God. She is a father that loves her and has anointed her and just delights in her, loves her face, loves her voice, loves everything about her. She is because of who he says she is, not because she went to YWAM or went to the refugee camps. She went to the refugee camps because of who she is, not to earn the right to sit here. Does that make sense? I am who I am because he says who I am. I am not who I am because of what I do. I do because of who I am. It's like this microphone, yeah? If this microphone or this microphone didn't have insulation in it, it would cause a bit of a shock, wouldn't it? It would, like, I don't know how much power goes through these things, but I'm sure it could give you a right buzz. You know, there's batteries and all sorts of connections and... But because of the insulation, I don't feel the electricity. I'm protected from the electricity. But also in the realm of the spirit, we have insulated our lives from the electrical power of God. We have put these little comfortable barriers around us that protect us from receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Things from our past, things that have been spoken over us. So my heart is like to get rid of all my insulation so that I become a conduit for the Spirit of the Lord. Insulation stops electrical flow. So I feel that the Lord wanted to ask us a couple of questions. When you're squeezed, when you're under pressure, what comes out? As the church of Jesus Christ today, when we're squeezed, when we're under pressure, what comes out? Our nation is being squeezed right now. And what's coming out is not very nice. Our nation needs Jesus. Needs a revolution of love. And I think that what comes out of you will depend where you sit. I think when we're squeezed, if we're sitting in this chair, our nature will come out, our offenses, our anger, bad reactions, frustration, depression, loss of hope. But I believe that when we sit in this chair, that the fruit of the Spirit will grow and will flow from us. Love, joy, meekness, tenderness, goodness, self-control, long-suffering, all those things. God will never treat you based on your history, but on your destiny. Yeah, I felt the Lord say this to you, that you're not a chicken, but an eagle. You're not a chicken that tries to fly, you know, it's had its wings clipped, where it's like doing this, and it can fly from one end of the barn to the other. It's going, oh, did you see me? I flew. Did you see me? Woo! I flew. Could you see it? Woo! I'm so good. But actually, it doesn't go anywhere or do anything. It just flaps about. But the Lord says that we are eagles. Made to fly, made to soar. We're made to go higher and higher and higher and higher. We've got special eyes that can look to the sun. Talons that can kill serpents. We're made to soar. We're made to see things from His perspective. You are an eagle in the Lord. You have talons that destroy darkness. You have eyes that can gaze into the sun. You're made to fly high. You're not made to sit here. You're made to fly in this place. You're made for miracles. You're made for signs and wonders. You're made for greatness. Why? Because you have a Father that just thinks you're amazing. He just thinks you're absolutely amazing. In this seat, we have Big Dad, small problems. In this seat, we have small dad, big problems. When I sit in this seat, my problems never seem as bad because there's a trust issue and there's a faith that rises in me. There's hope that rises in me. I can sit in that train and go over to France and not have a worry. When I sit in this seat, my mind starts to try to work out how things are going to happen and how they're going to work. I get stressed out. I get narky. I become not a nice person. And I constantly have to be aware that I'm here and I need to transition into this chair. There is no end to the affection that God has for us, to His love. There's no end to His presence. There's no end to His fire. There's no end to His breath. There is no end to what He would do for you. There is no end to the miracles that He wants to perform through you. There is no end to the lives He wants to transform through you. There is no end. It goes on and on and on until He takes you home or until He returns. So I just want to set a challenge tonight. Who wants to see this nation transformed? Who wants to see change? Who wants to change in order to be a change? I do. I want to come from this to this. I want to learn how to be a habitation, not just something that God gets to visit every now and again. I love it when the presence of God is on me. But I have learned and I'm learning to walk in the presence of God, to walk in the knowledge that actually He's in me all the time for me, and he's upon me all the time for everybody else. That at any time of the day or night, I can lay hands on people and pray for them to be well. That any time of day or night, I can tell people about Jesus and see them come to know him. That any time, day or night, I can pray for a problem knowing that my daddy has heard and he's going to bring an answer. It doesn't matter what the situation is. I have learned that the Spirit of the living God lives in me. That it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. By my Spirit, says the Lord. And his Spirit is in you and his Spirit is upon you. In you for you and upon you for others. The dove so desires to rest there. But we need to create a habitation. We need to have that awareness. He loves you so much more than you even imagine. He's such a good father. I want to see this nation transformed. I want to see it start one by one. Those doors, one by one, one person at a time. I have such a passion to see a community transformed. The Lord says he's coming. We have heard all these prophecies about the waves of revival coming. But we got to want it. We've got to be hungry for this. It's got to mean more to us than our food, than parties or whatever. Whatever it is that gets in your way, TV, games, machines. He's got to mean more. Unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it will never bear forth fruit. And I think sometimes we have to come back to planting our seed back into the ground and dying to ourself again so that he can raise ourself up in power and humility with him. So if that has really spoken to any of you tonight, I'd love to pray for you. Or actually, if Clive would even just put on some worship. And if that's you and you just want to do some business with the Lord, I just invite you to come. We'll just leave these chairs. You can come and sit, just do personal business with the Lord. Or we can pray for you. But I just feel tonight the Lord gives you an opportunity to make a decision. We don't want anybody in this chair. I want to see, there's like 6.2 billion people on the earth. 5 billion of them don't know Jesus. And the reason they don't know him is because of this chair. Because they don't see any difference. Why would they come to Christ when we're just the same? When we do the same things and we talk the same way? But if we remove this chair and they get to see a habitation of God, full of power, full of love, full of the face of God, the experience in God, I believe that we could see this coming into this in a massive harvest. So I want to give you an opportunity. If that's you, you can either come up and just do quiet time, or we'd love to pray with you tonight. If not, we'll just finish up. Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Papa God. I thank you, Lord, that we get to see your face. I thank you, Papa, that we get to know your love. I thank you, Papa, that we get to experience you. That we get your presence. We get your power. We get resurrection life within us, God, that brings resurrection life to others. Father, we just surrender our lives tonight. We just say again, Lord, take the seed of our lives and plant it in good soil. Plant it in the soil of your Spirit, Lord. Lord, that we would be revived, rebirthed, that we would know the breath of God upon us again, Lord, as a people, as a nation. That we would know your breath, Lord, that we would see you. We ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come and transform who we are, Lord. Place that hunger within us, Lord. Hunger is such a gift. Thirsting for you is such a gift, Lord. Father, come and slaughter the demons of apathy in the church today. Break it down, Lord, every pillar stone of apathy, every pillar stone of religion, God. Come and break it down, Lord. Shake it until it breaks, Lord. That your people would rise up, Father, in the power of the Holy Ghost. That we would have another Pentecost outpouring, Father. Lord, where people are being saved every day. Lord, we thank you for your presence and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you feel you want to take a step just before the Lord, just come on up. We'd love to pray with you tonight. We believe there's a generation rising that is going to be so powerful that she is going to know who she is. She's going to know how to use her weapons, but they're all weapons of love. And we need to lay down our agendas, and we need to lay down our offenses, and we need to say, Papa, where are you walking that we can walk with you? Where are you blessing that we can bless also? What are you doing that we can partner with you in it? I want the fun. I want the fun of being with Jesus. Because when he's there and you're doing what he's doing, it's not hard. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My sheep know my name. I am the good shepherd. So maybe a few of you would come. Alaric and that, just come and pray for these ones, Andy, Donna.